Romans chapter 5, and I realize people going to the funeral and, everything this afternoon, I know puts everybody in a time predicament, so we'll try to remember that and be aware of that, but I told somebody I wasn't going to make any promises, but I do realize we all have to be somewhere this afternoon, or a lot of us do. And so you just pray for us today that the Lord would speak to our hearts and help us as only you can. Romans chapter 5, we're going to read verses 12 through verse number 14, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And so Romans chapter 5, verse number 12, the Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for they all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for letting us be here today, for all the many blessings that you've given to us. And I pray and I ask, Lord, that you would help this morning as we look into the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. I pray you'd use the message for your honor and for your glory. Lord, I pray that you would use it to speak to hearts, especially, Lord, if there'd be one among us, or that hears the message, maybe on the radio, or maybe on the website, that, Lord, souls might be saved. Lord, we realize that your word, it accomplishes what you send it out to do, and it will not return unto you void. And I thank you for that. I praise you for that. And dear Father, as we come today, I ask that you would just give liberty and freedom, and be in the funeral this afternoon, the preaching, the singing, everything that's said and done. I pray you'd use it, Lord, for your honor and for your glory. And we thank you for all the many blessings that you've given to us. And we ask for your help right now, and we ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. Let's read verse number 12 one more time. We'll start there. And a great passage of Scripture in the Bible, and many of you are familiar with it already. But it says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And this passage of Scripture, it's been on my mind all week long, been thinking about it and rolling it over in my mind and in my heart and meditating upon it and thinking about it. And of all the people in the history of mankind, of all the kings and all the rulers and all the great minds, the scientists with their inventions that have just changed the whole world, the way we operate, and contributions to medicine and penicillin, something like that. I mean, that's affected everybody and changed really the course of the whole world. Of all the great philosophers and thinkers and teachers and prophets and wise men and revolutionaries and writers and all of these things, all of the people that have made a contribution to mankind, of all of them, none have had a greater influence or impact for good or bad than Adam. Think about Adam today. And I want to try to preach on this subject, the most influential man in the history of the world. Now, I know they don't like long titles, but that's all I could come up with. I couldn't think of how to shorten that. But you think about Adam today. Adam, of all the men and all the women that have ever come into this world, he is the most influential person in the history of mankind. Now, it didn't hurt anything that he was first. You would have a great advantage, usually in anything, by being the first one. And of course, when we're thinking about Adam, we're thinking about the first human being. We're thinking about the first man. We're thinking about the first husband. He was the first father. To Adam was given the blessing of God. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, the Bible said, "And God blessed them. And God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over it." The fish and the fowls and the creatures, all of them. God gave that blessing to, first of all, Adam and Eve. Go, be fruitful and multiply. And, you know, a few years ago, nobody would have known what you were talking about if you were talking about DNA. And I don't even really know how to explain that this morning, but you know that that is an imprint from our ancestors that we all carry in us. And DNA, Adam's DNA, lives in all of us. The first father, the first mother, the first human beings, if we were to go back in time and we could bring Adam and Eve into a room with us and nobody knew who they were, you couldn't pick them out among mankind. They look like we look. I'm talking about people in general. Recognize humans in the world. Adam and Eve were the first. And we all have some of the same similarities. Adam and Eve, all our DNA that's carried on from them. It's amazing to think about that. The Bible says that God told Adam to give names, and he did. He gave names to all the creatures that God brought before them. And so you talk about an influential person. There's none more influential than Adam is. But we come to Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 6. And, you know, if you read the Bible, you read chapter 1, everything's good. Chapter 2, everything's going good. Chapter 3, everything falls all to pieces. What happened? And it's been going downhill ever since. What happens in Genesis chapter number 3? Adam and Eve disobey God. God told them not to eat of one tree in the garden, not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they disobeyed God. And Genesis chapter 3 verse 6 said, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." And from that point forward, it's been downhill ever since. Mankind has not been evolving, it's been devolving. In every area, morally, physically, people do not live as long as they used to. And this might hurt our pride. People are not as smart as they used to be. Because we can't even figure out how they built the pyramids thousands of years ago. People are still scratching their heads with no machines and no hydraulics and none of those things. How did they do that? They're a lot smarter than we are. We've lost a lot. It's proven scientifically. Most people do not use a small percentage of the capacity of their brains. How come? Mankind has been devolving, going down. But we want to think today about Adam and the most influential man in the history of all mankind. And I'm going to point out three things this morning, and we'll be done. First of all, in this passage of Scripture, Romans 5 and verse number 12, the first thing I want you to see is the greatest fall. In Adam, we have the greatest fall. Verse 12, the Bible said, "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world." It doesn't say one man and one woman, does it? It says, "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world." I know they were both involved, but God laid the blame at Adam's feet. The Bible said at 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 14 that Adam was not deceived. Adam knew that he shouldn't be doing that. The Bible said that the woman was in transgression, but it says specifically that Adam was not deceived. Eve was deceived into partaking in what God told him not to do. But Adam was not deceived. According to the Word of God, the fall of mankind, the charge of ruin is upon Adam. And when any man or woman does something sinful or hurtful, they lose their influence, they lose their testimony, they mess up. We say about them, they fail. You know, it doesn't matter who it is or what they've done. It could be the president, it could be a governor, it could be a husband in the community or a wife, and they do something. It could be the CEO of a company, and they do something awful. They do something sinful, and they lose their life. I talked to somebody at one time, not too long ago, and they're in a terrible situation. They'd done something, and they said, "I've lost everything," is what they said. When something like that happens, we say they fail. There's all kinds of examples we could give of those that have fallen. I think about in the Bible, John Mark went out on that first missionary journey, and we are not told in the Bible exactly what happened, whether he just got fed up or maybe he was scared or maybe he was homesick, but he turned around and went home. Do you remember that? And the next time they went out, Paul and Barnabas had an argument over John Mark, and Paul, he would not take John Mark with him because he had turned back. The Bible said about another man that used to preach and minister with the apostle Paul, Demas. Paul said about him, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Demas fell. He was in there. He was doing good, but he loved the world more than he loved God. Paul said, "He's forsaken me." We think about David in the Bible, King David, and everybody knows what David did. Boy, I've been reading that. That's where I am in my yearly Bible reading. Boy, everything's going good in David's life, and boy, his family life and his kingdom and everything. And then he sinned. What did he do? David committed adultery with Bathsheba. He fell. And he got wrong with God. And you look in his family from that point forward, and it's just one tragedy after another after another. He fell. And everybody knows it. And anybody that knows anything about the Bible knows about David messing up. Moses got mad. God told Moses, he said, "Speak to the rock." And Moses, the meekest of men, he was angry with the children of Israel. And instead of speaking to the rock, he smote the rock. God said, "Because of that, you're not going to go into the promised land." He fell for a moment, and it affected everybody and affected his life. And Noah in the Bible, you know, you read over there, Noah, what a hero. But even Noah got drunk. If anybody had been through the storms of life and knew God was faithful and that he ought to not be doing that, Noah should have known. But nevertheless, Noah got drunk. What a smear on Grandpa Noah's character all the rest of the days of his life. If you'd have lived and known what had gone on in Noah's life. And we could mention many in our society and in history that have fallen down through the years, but all are pale in comparison to what Adam did. Can you imagine for God to put the finger of His holiness upon you? And that is exactly what we have here in the Word of God. Who's He talking about? He's talking about Adam. And when God says you want to know what's wrong with the world, you want to know who to point your finger at, it's Adam. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world." How'd you like to have that added on to your last name? All the sin that's in the world came through one doorway, and that was what Adam did when he disobeyed the Lord in the garden. The greatest fall of all time, that all the sin of the world has Adam's name to it. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. Second of all, not only do you have in Adam the greatest fall, but you also have the greatest fault. The Bible said, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. And you think this morning what all is involved in that one thing, sin entered into the world. All the sin in the world, all the sorrow in the world, all of the destruction that is in the world, all of the corruption, all of the seduction, all of the greed, anything that would come under the heading of evil, fault. Whose fault is it? Get right down to it, it's Adam's fault. I know I've mentioned this before, but I know when I was growing up and we'd have to go up on the hill and we'd have to cut briars. My grandpa, he raised sheep, and his property, I mean, he didn't want no briars, no mulling, anything. And this was a long time ago, and we used to have to go up there once or twice a year and cut mulling and briars and anything like that, just go along. And my grandpa Greer, he'd tell the story of when he was a little boy and they'd do the same thing. And he said, my Uncle Stanley, we'd be out there working in the hot sun and cutting the briars and the thistles and the mulling. And my Uncle Stanley, he'd say, this is all Adam's fault. This is all Adam's fault. Fault. We are a society. We want to find out whose fault something is. Anything that's bad, anything that we can put the blame on somebody, we want to know whose fault. Whose fault is it that people's killing and raping and murdering and molesting little children? And I'm telling you, every week in the newspaper it comes out that there's been somebody has abused an infant. What kind of evil person would strike a little baby or shake it or throw it out of a car? I mean, that stuff goes on in society, and you think, what are we coming to as a society that these things go on? Whose fault is this? Adam. It's Adam's fault that all this sin is in the world. That's what the Bible says. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. We like to find out who we can blame for something. And you want to find out. And let me say about blaming somebody for something, that's just human nature. What is human nature anyway? Human nature is what we inherited from Adam and Eve. And that sin nature that we have, that nature to blame somebody. You know, when the Lord came to Adam and Eve and the serpent there in the garden, and he began to question them and tell them what was going to happen because of what they had done, he came to Adam, and what do you think Adam said? The woman thou gavest me. It's human nature to pass the buck, to blame somebody else. What did Eve do? The serpent came. Pass it along, pass it along. That's how we are. We want to pass it along. We want to blame somebody else. We want to find out whose fault it is. And when you think about all the sin and all the evil in the world, it's Adam's fault. But it gets even worse than that. Look what it says in the verse. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, that's bad enough, but it goes on. And death by sin. And so, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Not only did sin come into the world, and that's Adam's fault, but the entrance of death into the world as well is Adam's fault. And I'm telling you today, death is a horrible thing. Even if somebody's a child of God and we know they're in heaven, death is horrible. It's an ugly thing to see and experience. And it's always been that way. Death is horrible. Can you imagine in Adam? Now God said, if you eat thereof, you're going to die. And they ate. Nobody died immediately. But the day came, somebody died. And when they died, it was a horrible death. The first person in the Bible we read about dying, it was a murder. It was a family affair, and it was Adam and Eve's own children. You know, it would have been easier to bear with Adam if he would have been the first one to die, but you know, he was not the first one to die. It's his own flesh and his own blood, and his own son taken by the violence of his other son. And Cain was wroth. He was angry with Abel, and he rose up, the Bible said, and he slew Abel. That means with violence. God came to Cain and he said, "What have you done? The blood of your brother cries unto me from the ground." God knew what had happened. Don't think God didn't know what had gone on. But he came to Cain and he confronted him about killing him. And we don't know, the Bible does not say all how it came about. And maybe Cain went to Adam and Eve and told them. Maybe they all heard the commotion and ran out there. We don't know, the Bible does not say. But don't you know, when they put Abel's body in the ground and what we might call a funeral service there, and they buried him, don't you think that everybody, when they looked at Adam, "It's your fault. It's your fault. If you hadn't disobeyed God, we wouldn't be out here. And every death since then, every time somebody has died, you want to look around and see whose fault it was? It's Adam's fault. And the Bible says there in the book of Romans, chapter number 5, and verses 12 through 14, and let's just read that. "So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. Sin is not imputed when there is no law." Verse 14, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses." That means even though there was no law, there was no Ten Commandments, people were still dying. There was no law to charge man against, but they still were reaping the penalty of Adam sinning, and people died, babies died, and young people died. Death reigned. Look what the Bible says and how it says it there. Death reigned like a king would reign. Bible says in Job chapter number 18, the man Bildad, he said about death, he's describing death over there, and he refers to death as being the king of terrors. Have you ever come across that phrase in the Bible, the king of terrors? That's exactly what death is. Like a king, it comes seemingly when it wants to. And to who it wants to. And no matter what we do to try to stop it, mankind has never been able to stop death coming among our midst. And you can be having the most normal life and everything going along just fine, and all of a sudden death shows up. Turns everything upside down. And it is no respecter of persons. It does not matter how rich you are, or how smart you are, or how healthy you are, or how young you are. It does not matter. Death reigns over us. It is a reign of terror. It is something that everybody is afraid of, and they do not want to come into their lives, but we know that it's all coming. Whose fault is all this? It's Adam's fault. I've been to the hospital, I can't tell you how many times, looked down on somebody that is dying or has just died. You go to the funeral home, everybody's all fixed up. But if you've ever been around somebody that has just died, it's not a pretty thing. It's a horrible thing. You stand there by the bedside and people's weeping and crying and tore all to pieces, and it's horrible. You ever been around where a little child has died? Where a young person has died unexpectedly? We all expect that, you know, we know when we get older we're going to die. It's bad enough then. Let me tell you, when it's a young person, when it's a child, It'll tear y'all to pieces. It's an awful thing. It's a terrible thing. And I've stood at the hospital and the funeral homes and the gravesides and saw how it's affected families. And I've thought in my mind many, many times over the years, this is all Adam's fault. If we could blame anybody, you got to blame Adam because of that. That's what the Bible says, that sin entered into the world and death by sin. But I'll tell you how this thought came about in my mind last Sunday night when we got home from church. I got a call from Brother Nathan, and he said, "Sister Louise is falling again, and it's real bad." And he explained to me what the situation was a little bit, and I got dressed and got my clothes back on, and I was riding over there, and I was thinking, it's awful. It's awful. This life and the time comes in her life, it's never an easy thing. And I was saying about people dying, and probably wasn't going to be long for Sister Louise, and the thought came to my mind, and I just got to thinking about one thing and another, and I thought to myself, if anybody deserved to go to hell, Adam did. Because this is all his fault. You think about that. All the sin, all the death, all of the Hitlers and Mussolinis and all the evil in the world. If anybody deserved to go to hell, it'd have been Adam. God knew if Adam and Eve disobeyed him, what was going to happen. That's why he told them not to do it. And so when they did it, when Adam disobeyed, God knew what the result was going to be. If anybody, from a human standpoint, deserved to die and go to hell, it would have been Adam. But then I got to thinking about this. You know what? It wasn't. Because as soon as they sinned and tried to hide from God, the Bible said in Genesis 3:9, "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he came not to send them to hell and to destroy them, but he came to save them." So in Adam, not only do you have the greatest fall and you have the greatest fault, but in Adam you have the greatest forgiveness. Look what the Bible said in verse 14. "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression." Look what the Bible says. "Who is the figure of him that was to come?" A figure is a type. And Adam, of all people, do you know, is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. The figure of the greatest forgiveness in all the world, in all the Word of God, is that God could come and forgive Adam for what he had done. And if anybody comes and says, "God won't forgive me, I've done this, I've been bad," God forgave Adam. God came to Adam and God began to unfold His promise of redemption right there in the Garden of Eden. He slew animals. He shed their blood. He clothed them. God set about immediately to make things as right as they could be. And this world is not perfect. We live in a fallen world. We live in a sinful world. And as close as you can be to heaven is to get saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll be as right as we can be until the trump of God sounds. He's a picture of the greatest forgiveness in all of the world. Adam is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when he ate that fruit, he didn't have to. She had already done it. She would have died. But Adam didn't have to. But do you know when Adam went with his wife and he knowingly partook of that fruit which God had told him, "Of all the trees of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but that one tree." When Adam partook of that, he forsook his place. as the dominion over all the world. He left his power. He left his dominion. He left his peace. He knew that although he had walked with God in the garden in the cool of the day, he knew that things was going to change. But Adam knew if there's any chance of saving her, he would have to go where she was. She would have died and he wouldn't have. I don't know what the Lord would have done. I don't know. I don't know if God would have made another Eve take two. I don't know. I don't know, but I know this. Adam, when he was presented with the choice of staying where he was in his perfect relationship with God or risking it all for a chance to save his bride, he partook. And I believe it was out of great love. God knew that when Adam and Eve done that, it would cost the life of his dear son. The Lord Jesus did not have to come. He did not have to pay the ultimate price. But he knew in order to gain his bride once again and redeem her, he'd have to go. And he who knew no sin became sin for us. The greatest forgiveness in all the world is figured in Adam. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 22 says, "For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive." In first Adam, we lost everything. In the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, we get it all back. But only if we come in repentance and faith in His dear Son, and the price he paid for us on Calvary. I want to read over there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. If you want to look with me, I'll read a few verses and I'll be done this morning. Talking about the greatest forgiveness in all the world. 1 Corinthians 15 verse number 20. Give you just a moment to turn over there and I'm going to read this and I'm going to close. It's talking here about Adam and the Lord Jesus Christ. First Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the second Adam. It said in verse number 20, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death," that's Adam, "by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and all authority and power." Now the Lord Jesus Christ, everything that Adam lost, the Lord Jesus redeemed it. And there will be one day God's kingdom upon earth, restored, perfect. If you're saved by the grace of God, we will rule and reign with Him in glorified bodies that will never die. Praise the Lord. Look what it said in verse 25. "For He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet." See, death reigns now, but it'll not always be that way. Look what it said. Verse 26, "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." Boy, what a day. I'm looking forward to the day when there's no more death. Because I hate it. And it's an awful thing. And it breaks our hearts. But I'm telling you this morning, Sister Louise is not dead. She's more alive now than she's been in several years. She's more alive now than she's been in all of her life. She wouldn't come back. Sister Mick wouldn't come back. Brother Maston wouldn't come back. And my grandparents wouldn't come back. It's just a little time. It's just a little time. And the Bible goes on, he talks about verse number 51. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." You know what that means? We're not all going to die. And I've heard a lot of people down through the years. Preacher Art Greer said, "I believe I'll be here when the trump of God sounds." Well, he's gone on. And I've heard other preachers say, I believe I'll make it to the rapture. But they died and they went on. But you know what? I'm going to pick up that saying. I'm planning to be here when the trump of God sounds. I believe it could be that close. We're not all going to sleep. We're not all going to die. But look what the Word of God says. But we shall all be changed. Praise God. When that trump of God sounds, if you're saved by the grace of God, we're going to be changed. Say, I don't believe that, preacher. I don't know if that sounds sort of crazy. That doesn't bother me, and it doesn't change a thing. We'll all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, for the trump of God shall sound, and we're going to all be changed. What the Bible said. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. One of these days the trump of God's going to sound. And this mortal, this dying body that we're all trapped in this morning with all the aches and all the pains, and Brother Stephen is sitting beside me this morning. He looked over at me and said, does your eye ever twitch and just keep twitching? And he said, my eye's twitching, it won't stop. I said, yeah, that's happened to me. I said, it's called OLD. I said, if you fall out in the floor, I'll tell them that's the last thing you said to me. These bodies that let us down, and that weird new thing that we wonder, is that something? Is that going to get me? One of these days, that'll all be changed. And you will never, throughout all eternity, ever wonder again if you're going to die. That's hard for me to imagine. We won't walk around in heaven, praise the Lord, and say, oh, been to the doctor. That won't even be in the conversation. It'll never cross our minds. We'll never walk by the cemetery and see Grandpa and Grandma over there. If they were saved and we're saved, we'll walk in heaven and see Grandma and Grandpa. We have more to look forward to than anybody in the whole wide world. If you're here today and you've never been saved by the grace of God, I urge you, I beg you, you need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to die and go to that awful place called hell. You can be saved. You can know heaven is your home. You can have a little joy down here in this life. You don't have to go through it with dread and fear. Oh, what love. Oh, what grace. Mercy extended to a fallen race. That's the greatest love. And it's pictured in the one that had the greatest fall. And who's the greatest fault? But I'm glad for that second Adam that came tasted death for every man. Hebrews 2 and 9. So we could have eternal life. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I appreciate your good attention.